Welcome to Sustainability Bridges, a URSIF podcast aimed at building bridges between policymakers, investors, academics, and civil society around the theme of sustainable investing. URSIF is the leading pan-European association promoting sustainable finance and sustainable investing at the European level. In this podcast, the Executive Director of URSIF will invite distinguished guests for a 30-minute conversation on current events shaping the sustainable investing community.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Victor Van Horn, and I'm the Executive Director of URSIF. For this episode, I'm honored and delighted to be joined by our guest speaker, Adrie Hainsbrook, Chief Sustainability Officer at NN Investment Partners. We're going to discuss about sustainable investing challenges, compare what policymakers have done over the last couple of years and how that helps the sustainable investment industry in achieving those goals. Dear Adrie, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Victor. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. So maybe to start off with a broad question this morning, from your vantage point as a practitioner, what do you see as the big themes that the sustainable investing industry will need to address over the next couple of years?
That's immediately actually a big question and interesting. If you would ask me what are the big themes, I would have said maybe a couple of years ago something else than now, to be honest. Because it's multiple, so you say big theme, so I can address maybe two or three, because it cannot be more than three. The interesting thing is, in my view, it's one of the big themes now, also in sustainable investing, which is especially emerging, is inequality. So there's a lot of things going on in society. The outside world is expecting finance, or especially not less banks, but much more investors also to play a role in that. So what about the inequality? That was also, because of the COVID pandemic, which is actually still raging and not yet gone, things have been developed and are not always as equal. So that would be one of the things. The other connecting thing is, I would call it the environmental challenge, but much more not climate, because that's too easy. It is beyond climate. So one of the big themes is what's next on the climate agenda. So it's all about biodiversity. It's not about carbon anymore. It's a bit the social just transition. Eh? How can we make sure we make that? And the other third one, I would say, it's much more about, from an investor, we work with portfolio reality, but it is about real world reality. So how to bridge portfolio reality, investors from behind our screens, behind our data, what our investment decisions that we make have consequences in the real economy, in the real world, and how to bridge that. I like it. It's sustainability bridge conversations, how to bridge that between our portfolios and the real world. Because I can make relatively easy a zero carbon emission portfolio by just maybe selling some of the stocks. But nothing happens in the outside world. The emissions are still there. So how do you perceive your reality? Does it go to a next level? So will there be a sustainable investing 3.0 where you maybe have this more interaction? Those would be three things on the top of my mind.
I think that's very interesting. Maybe picking up on your last theme, as you said, it's about decarbonizing the society, the economy, not necessarily decarbonizing individual portfolios. Now, I would say, from my vantage point, I have the impression that a couple of years ago, there was a big movement to consider divesting from the worst companies. And it seems that the pendulum is switching back a little bit in realizing that if you do that, it's very simple to decarbonize the portfolios, but you're moving the problem somewhere else and you're no longer making it your problem. Is that something you see as well as a practitioner, that maybe we thought a bit too simplistically about certain things a couple of years ago, and now we are getting a more refined, sophisticated approach to those challenges?
Great question again, and allow me to give you a refined answer, because I think the issue is, divestment should always be an option on the table, because you should also be, as an asset manager or asset owner or a financial institution, but let's talk from asset manager perspective, you should also be aware that there comes a moment that you feel that some investments do no longer fit with your view on the world or with how you want to allocate capital, because you got capital entrusted to you and you want to, you have to work with it. And an investor is by definition long-term horizon. And if you have the opinion or have the commitment on, for instance, net zero, and you think that these things might not have value in the longer term, then you should act and maybe no longer invest, which is not the same as divest, but it means reallocate or shift the allocation of capital, which is one of the aims of the European Union's Green Deal plans and of the whole sustainable finance directives. But now I'm jumping to conclusions too fast, I guess, but allow me to take the step back. Yes, maybe we were too easy, but I also think that nowadays it looks like you can talk about anything except divestment because we need to remain invested. Yes, you need inclusion over exclusion, still be my preference, but there are times that you could say, we discussed everything. This company is not moving in the right direction. We think it's no longer a very good investment on the long term, or somehow they aren't listening or they don't feel our concerns, because I'm not going to tell a company what to do. We can share compliments and concerns. And as an asset manager, I can then make a decision. Do I want to invest in them? Yes or no? So do we make this sort of, maybe were we too simplistic in the past? But I also think we still should be able to divest nowadays. On the other hand, it is more complicated because indeed you want to make sure that the shift in carbon is not just selling a few names out of your portfolio, but is making sure that maybe how can you discuss and think about these matters. What you also see is, just allow me for a small sidetrack, is that you see that having a portfolio, you will get probably some smart kits around the block to make carbon derivatives or bring in interesting strategies to maybe sort of carve out the emissions of a certain investment. Those things might be very handy and might even also help, like with the EU training system. But the thing is, how can we as investors convince companies, make sure that in the strategic decisions or the investment decisions by the companies themselves, that they're going to be definitely making sure that they're going to address climate change within their sphere, either a chemical company or a clothing company. Every company has to rethink that one. And I think that's the task of investors. And if you see the companies making the change in the right direction, then even if it's having quite some carbon emissions now, you could relatively explain that you remain invested. But be there and monitor it and explain it.
I think, I guess, one example of that also fascinates me is that we had the impression a couple of years ago that, for example, a whole sector like mining was much less popular. However, I think we see a lot of studies showing that if we want to do this low carbon transition, the technologies, the rare earth, the minerals, cobalt that we need for all these batteries and solar panels means that we have no choice. Is that something you see as well? How do you deal with those challenges? And are there other sectors that you think we will have to revisit our view on those?
I think you're absolutely right, Victor, in this. Mining is a great example because you need this materials, natural resources for the energy transition or for making the changes. What you do see is that here again, you should also think about minerals, materials in a sort of urban mining environment. So we should also ensure circular economy, recycling, but it all takes a certain amount of fossil fuels. We cannot have just a zero emissions on the short term. Take chemicals. Chemicals is also, we should also maybe reconsider our position maybe on chemicals. But that's why I think investors need also try to understand, and that's sometimes the difficulty of the sustainability group of people, which I'm part of. So we should also be aware of, we need fossil fuels for some chemical reactions. We need to do certain things. We can have the electric vehicles for people like me, personal, but for trucks and professional transports, this may take a bit longer. So what you see is a sort of differences in roadmaps, differences in speed. Here I'm going to dilute a bit from your question, maybe not on the sectors, but we should maybe be very much aware of making sure that maybe in Europe we can move faster. But if you take countries in Asia or in South Africa or in Latin America, they can have a different speed or a different time steps or interim targets, we should be aware of the differences in geography, or maybe the differences in capabilities of having the finance to make it. I mean, I'm from the Netherlands. We have the largest density of charging stations for electric vehicles. If you go to Austria, or if you go to Spain or Portugal, yeah, with my electric vehicle, it's not easy. So be aware of that. So it's not good or bad, but let's make sure that we make that happen. And maybe we should be, as investors, reconsider that, like in the past. Maybe we should invest a bit more on that to ensure the sort of addressing this inequality. Let's make sure that we can jointly do that. And I think that's, Victor, you didn't ask it, but in my view, sustainable investing is also a bit about the great concept of sustainable development. Eh? Let us assure that from the ideas behind it, it is about investing, it is about making returns, but it is about not at the expense of others or not at any cost. So we want to make sure that the supply chain is there. We want to be aware that we live in a globalized village. So if I'm having a fantastic life, let's make sure that we all have a fantastic life. And sustainable investors are much more about thinking, how can we see the broader picture? And we sometimes lose that in the discussions about ESG, data, regulations. It is a society at large, and it is not confined to geographical grenses between the Netherlands, Belgium, and France. No, it's us, world.
Very, very inspiring words, Adri. Maybe trying to connect back to some of the big themes you identified at the beginning. We're living in a very unpredictable and unprecedented period now. We have, unfortunately now, you know, again, a war at the outskirts of Europe in Ukraine. We have at the same time policymakers having this long-term challenge of decarbonization. As you said, in the short run, we may have to use a bit more fossil fuels than we had anticipated from different sources. There is at the same time inflation, which triggers probably for policymakers a question about the acceptability of some of the measures we need to make. How are you looking to all of that complexity as investor?
As a risk. It's the most simple answer to this quite complex question. It is, of course, this sort of, like you have with the PRI, the inevitable policy response. We as investors look at these things from a sort of risk. I don't see this as the opportunities, but I can imagine, like happened with COVID, suddenly, overnight, drastic measures. And the same thing can happen with either climate, inequality, war on the outskirts of Europe, food prices, all kinds of things. I sometimes think, with thinking out loud, and I'm not a doom and gloom, but it's about we should be aware of certain things based from also from a sustainable point of view. How can we continue doing business, continue to live, and how can we ensure we do this in a sort of way that important decisions sometimes need to be made by governments, and I'm sometimes thinking that this will become also part of the ecosystem, part of the assessment we as investors need to do, and that's triggered much more maybe from sustainable, let's call it ESG or societal dimensions, than just pure only financial and economic, and people should accept that.
Inevitably, it sounds like, and I think we know that on a lot of these challenges, you take the example of COVID, but ultimately what happened is governments had to take very difficult decisions, drastic decisions to find a solution. And people made the analogy with climate, which is interesting because it seems as if we're now coming to the conclusion that governments are inevitably going to play a pivotal role in structuring those measures. But it's interesting that we're coming now from a few decades where I think in many parts of the world, the role of governments focused more on the approach of the market and what the private companies could do. Are we seeing a pendulum switch potentially?
Yeah. In my view, yes. But now we're getting on a sort of conversation where I have a sort of view from a sustainability perspective, but sometimes it's like one of the other things which I didn't mention on the big topics or the big, if you were to ask me what are some big challenges, I would say collaboration or the lack of or the need of collaboration. And having a government has the convening power It's a bit like, let's be close to home. It's a bit like Eurosif. Eurosif also has convening power over Europe because Eurosif combines all kinds of local SIFs and individual asset managers. You have convening power to come up that people rise above their own and personal or their individual or their company geared targets or their interests. So a government also has convening power. A government also can make this complex puzzle or can discuss things in a broader thing. We need that. So that is needed. And that's why I said risk, because I feel like hopefully it's not inevitable, but there comes a moment that we need to make drastic measures. Like Europe said, only electric vehicles as of 2035. So it is at least clear. And then it's maybe no longer inevitable, but you see already this is disrupting. The first reactions were of industry was not possible. So even it's 13 years ahead, it's still disruptive, let alone if something happens in 3 years' time with water or climate. But we as investors should be aware of that and should look at it from that, not maybe for stranded assets, but how can we make sure that we can play a role, but also take our responsibility in a positive way. And that's our job will become amazingly interesting in the next years.
Well, that's very inspiring words again, Adrie. And I think you're the first participant on this podcast series that made a compliment to Eurosif. So we will take that as a positive. But maybe you know, switching on to our next big theme of today is obviously, you know, the role of governments. A nice transition to that. That you know, we're sitting in Europe, and I think the EU a couple of years ago rolled out this very ambitious action plan on sustainable finance. We all know the different regulatory frameworks and the measures and, you know, the opportunities, but also the challenges for the industry in adjusting to that. What, from your perspective, taking a big look back, is it helpful to you as a practitioner? Do you think we got the balance right?
Allow me to say first that I totally in favor of the EU plan or sustainable finance regulation, because it helps increase transparency. It makes responsible sustainable investing much more a default. It is now grown up suddenly. It is taken serious. It has it's no longer debated. It's here to stay. So we've crossed that bridge. That's done. I have a few remarks to make, and I like having the opportunity here to maybe say something which not everybody agrees with me, but let's bring it anyway, because that's a podcast. The regulation helps a bit the laggards in sustainable investing and is maybe disadvantaging or the asset managers, like I see NN Investment Partners also already for a long time busy on this topic, building and investing and having a competitive advantage. That's more or less diminishing because everybody is now ticking the box. We have to comply with strict rules. This is what it is and nothing else. For us, the main as a practitioner, so just as a practitioner, it is maybe more challenging to redirect what we've already done and built for years and work on and explain to clients to make sure it fits exactly in the matrix and in the boundaries of what the regulation prescribes. That's maybe more difficult than if you start sort of from scratch. Of course, I'm exaggerating. We're not the only one, but that's one of the things. The other thing is, again, from a practitioner's point of view, and again, it's maybe a bit of a negative thing, it so much brings so much emphasis now on data and standardization. So it's about data dependency, because then I can tick this box. Then I know what to do with the pies. Then I know what's exactly within the taxonomy. But in my view, sustainable investing was also about ESG due diligence. Think yourself if this fits with your purpose, with your investment beliefs, and do you feel you assess this company or you assess this investment, do you think this is the right way? And do I want to have this long-term relationship with this investee company? If I really want to make a transition with utilities in Europe, I should not buy this stock for 7 months and then, oh, they do a small takeover, so I cannot have them longer in my sustainable portfolio because it doesn't tick the box anymore. But we would like to remain, because then I have a meaningful conversation and engagement with them. Then I can really drive the change. Then I'm also true to label and I don't have portfolio reality, but real world reality. It's not easy. On the other hand, I should be very grateful and happy that everybody talks about sustainable investing, that so much more money is going in that direction, that companies are taking this serious, that companies are reflecting, thinking, if I want to remain attractive to the financial markets, maybe or not maybe, then I should change and then I should tell this story. So it's a balanced answer. So I'm not all negative, but sometimes I think the regulation is helpful, but it makes my life more complex.
That is a great summary, Andre. Now, a question from my side here is based on recent conversation as well. A perspective that's emerging is the argumentation that the EU SFDR regulation, the taxonomy, MiFID, that all these regulations are data intensive, but what they at the end of the day do is try to identify who are the best in each sector, the most sustainable. But that those regulations, maybe what they currently lack is really a bit more of a focus on how do we get the rest of the investable universe to change.
Totally agree. There's not enough focus on change or focus on transition. Go to the second tier. I mean, the ones who already do this, let's keep on complimenting them. The real change and the real positive impact. First time we use this word in this podcast, there, by the way. You should focus on the second or third tier, the sort of the average ones who want to, but not fully aware. In Europe, don't do everything, but focus on this because then we can already classify you or make a sort of assessment. So the change and the innovation is not being rewarded currently. I do hope, though, because I'm an optimist, that within the new, for instance, how to bring RTS, so the technical standards on circular economy and stuff like that, that hopefully European Commission and people will be allowed to think a bit broader, not outside the box, but what does this really mean? Again, it's not easy, but this is something maybe I should also accept that is disturbing or it is disrupting a bit my way of thinking. But in the end, it will be like Harry Potter, Victor. You have the sorter hat of Harry Potter. On a certain moment, things will sort themselves by themselves without nudging and pushing to the right angle, and people know what to put into the hat. So I think it's maybe a sort of interesting metaphor, but I do hope that things will turn out for the better in the next couple of years. People have to get used to this.
Absolutely, and I think for the, you know, maybe one last question for me is, you know, we're looking at this transformation angle, and I think you see policymakers in some parts of the regulatory framework, and notably recently the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, which was agreed in Brussels. And one of the interesting things is that it brings this notion that companies should really have a transition plan or a strategy and explain how, you know, that they're not sustainable today, but explain to the market how are they going to achieve the objective, what are their plans. Is that something you would find valuable as a practitioner?
Absolute, because you have different type of conversations with management now. This is what you're doing now, but what are your plans in the next 4 or 5 years? So they have to start thinking beyond the next 6-7 months, because say financial markets are only interested in the next year. No, we're not. Yes, of course we are, but we're also beyond that horizon. And having an idea, companies having a strategic objective of having, saying, well, we have a 2030 plan or 2027 plan, and then you can help them a bit accountable, and you can I can make a decision. Maybe this is not going there, but let's discuss with my analyst. But this company is making the right decisions. So governance is maybe even becoming more important than environmental or social, because how is this company being managed? And do we have the right people? This is difficult, because, and maybe even dangerous, because if I start a conversation with two board members saying, well, actually, you know a lot about these technicalities, but have you got any clue what the world around you is doing? And they say, well, that was not how I was trained for 40 years in this company. We have a bit of a, they don't like me anymore. So it is about, and that's maybe something that's interesting in your question. I just get this sort of idea. It also brings responsibility to the asset managers or asset owners that we should also reflect and guide. And maybe we are more open to the outside world, but we should also be open to, people can change, companies can change. We should also be open-minded how things could develop. And let's start positive, but at the end, if things are not really changing, one of your earlier questions was, we should not be afraid to say, well, fantastic, but not for my portfolio or not in my view to the world. And then it's just what it is. So no difficulties, no discussions, no headlines in the newspapers. We just decided to invest in something else.
Well, Adrie, I think that is a perfect note to finish our podcast this morning. Thank you very much for your contribution and your inspiring words. And I hope that it will stimulate further the debate about the right policies and regulations that we need to make this whole agenda advance. Thank you very much.
Thank you too. Enjoy the conversation, Victor. Merci.
It brings us to the end of this insightful conversation and the end of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Do not hesitate to like, follow and share this episode of Sustainability Bridges. Eurosif will continue in the next episode to bridge the gap between the policymaking and the practice of sustainable investing with the help of distinguished guests. In the meantime, please visit our website and follow us on social media to stay tuned. See you next time for a new episode of Sustainability Bridges.